out our series. You asked for it. This has been... how many have enjoyed the teaching so far? I know it's a little bit of a preach come out in these series because of... And I'll be honest with you, I like teaching the Word of God. I love it. But sometimes I actually like preaching the Word of God too. And I know sometimes people go, well, you know, I like being in one of those churches where it's just really taught, you know, because I catch more of it. But sometimes we just need that passion. Is that okay? Because you don't watch a football game that's exciting without a little bit of... Right? A blowout, you kind of go, okay, I got it. But man, when it's close, you're on your edge of your seat. So passion is always good. In the final week of this, I did something a little different. I did not take the fourth most requested topic. What I did was, just based on the topic, has been something I've taught recently. But one of the things we did is we had several people ask about spiritual things, spiritual authority, spiritual leadership, how do I overcome spiritually, things of that nature. And let me preference this by saying, if you haven't been here during this season, the reason we're doing this is exactly what Jesus did. Much of Jesus' teaching came from questions that the crowd would pose to him. And then he would begin to teach on that topic, or that a lot of the Sermon on the Mount, the three parts of that came from a lot of the questions that the people had and a lot of the things that were religiously set in stone. And Jesus comes out talking about love and talking about different things that people were going, hey, I see this over here. What about this? And so that's kind of what we did. But I kind of decided that one of the most pressing things after looking at all of the lists that we needed to talk about was this topic, and that is the topic of spiritual warfare. And let me say this, I'm proud of our church. I'm proud of those who ask those spiritual questions about spiritual things, because and I want to be clear up front, and this is going to be a teaching / preaching today, because it's in me. I'm very passionate about what I'm about to say. But you need to understand that there is a war going on. And a lot of Christians simply don't engage in that fight. And it's sad to me. Let me tell you why. Because there are churches right now passively approaching Christianity in a way that says, you just kind of live your life the way you want, and it'll be okay. You just need to make that little verbiage before God that you love Him, you believe in Him, and everything's going to be peachy. But I'm just here to tell you, there's a fight. And if you don't understand that fight, I promise you, you're going to struggle through this thing called Christianity. I know I'm not getting a lot of exciting amens there, but it is true. It is true. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. Honestly, I put a lot of scriptures in this message because I want you to see how much actually the Bible does say about it, because the Bible is loaded with verses about spiritual warfare, about doing battle. But a lot of it starts right here, and I want to start in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, be strong. And so those two words we find throughout the entire Bible. Two words we see. He says, be strong, buckle up, because you're in a fight. And the devil has, and he goes on and says, for in the Lord, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And the devil's he's standing at a drawing board. You need to get this picture in your head. He's standing at a drawing board right now. Right now. And he's trying to draw up ways to trip you up, because he knows your weakness. He knows mine. He knows where he can attack us. He knows where we're vulnerable. And his goal is ultimately to destroy your relationship with God and destroy your life. That is his goal. And he's scheming. He's doing it. And I personally believe the devil is oftentimes working harder to destroy us than we are to keep it from happening. I can say that line again, but you got it. Our struggle isn't against, he goes on, our struggle isn't against all these, our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. It's not against your neighbor who doesn't like your dog. Talking about myself here. Even though maybe a little devil over there, I don't know. It's not against the, it's not against your spouse. It's not against your ex. It's not against the coworker. It's not against, you know, your parents. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers. It's against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world. Sounds a little Star Wars right there. And against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. And there's a little statement right there. That little phrase is mentioned four times in Ephesians, heavenly realms, meaning there's another realm that other than the one we're in right now. And we know it, we sense it, because some things that we have faced and issues that we've faced aren't random. They come at certain times, or let me call it, they come at opportune times. It couldn't be more coincidental of how it happens or how this happens. And people say, this isn't a coincidence. And you're right, it isn't a coincidence. And that's why you ask for it in spiritual ways. Because there's another realm happening. There's another realm going on, a heavenly realm that you cannot see. But it's very much operating right now. So that's why we need to put on some armor. And he goes on, spiritual force of evil, heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God that you might, that when the day of evil comes, you might be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand therefore strong. Stand in it. And so I want to encourage you, and really that's the goal. What would it be like? Let me ask this question, I guess, or maybe make this statement. What would it be like if after I give you what the Bible says about spiritual warfare, what would it be like if you actually started winning some battles in your life that you've been facing and battling for years? What would it be like? What would it look like? Well, that's the goal, and I want to encourage you today to take some good notes because I've got a lot of things to share. A lot of things that a lot of Christians avoid, and I know this is one of those topics that churches avoid a lot because it's like weird or it kind of freaks people out, and we don't want to do anything that kind of, in our current society, that kind of makes people feel uncomfortable. But I'm here to tell you the Bible is filled with stuff, and we can't salad bar it. You can't just go through there picking and choosing what you want to believe out of it. Okay? Is everybody all right with this? I really got to teach you this because I would be a bad pastor if I didn't teach these verses from the Bible. And actually, there's a verse that tells me to teach on it. Actually, there is Ephesians 5:11 says, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." And by the way, some of us are dabbling in that darkness. It could be through our weekend activities, could be through what you're watching on the internet or on TV. It could be what you're participating in. The Bible says have nothing to do with that. And you need to grapple. I said this a couple of weeks ago, and you need to decide what falls into that category for your life. And there's certain things that I'm just not going to practice. There's certain things I'm just not going to let come out of my mouth. There's certain things I'm just not going to filtrate through my eyes into my life because I know it's not healthy for my spiritual life. Is everybody okay with that? Yes. We have to grapple with that, decide what falls into that category for our life. And he says, but I don't want you to participate, but I'd rather you expose that. And that's what I want to do. I want to expose the devil for who he really is today. And so if you're taking notes, if you're not taking notes, write these things down, because I think these will be good for all. These will be good for all of us. And the first thing I want to point out is something that's not being taught in some churches right now, and that is that the devil is actually real. Yeah. Right? The devil is not a symbol of evil. As many churches are buying into this teaching that he's not real, he's just a symbol of evil. He's not a metaphor. He's not a little nasty thing that is in a red jumpsuit and a pitchfork with a beard. That's not him. That's not it. He is actually an angel. a fallen angel, if you would. The Bible names three angels in Scripture. Throughout the entire Bible, 66 books, there's only three angels named Gabriel, which we've all read about, Michael, and then Lucifer. And Lucifer, all three resided in heaven. The very specific event took place. Not sure what happened, but Lucifer, Satan, was cast out of heaven. And many scholars believe, as I do as well, believe it all took place between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. So if you go read that, that portion of Scripture, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And there's actually this punctuation mark there that creates this gap in time. And so if you read that, and then it says, the earth became formless and void. And something happened. Something happened between verse 1, verse 2 that made it that way, because God would have never created the earth formless and void. And so, and again, this is just a scholar's opinion, my opinion. You have this destruction of earth, and most believe that this is when this event took place, that Satan is cast out. It's recorded twice in Scripture, in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. He's removed from heaven. Because he basically is saying, hey, God, see all this worship I'm giving to you? I kind of would like that for myself. I'm just paraphrasing. This is a Charlie version. I want to get the worship myself. I don't want to go into you anymore. And God's like, hey, that's not going to happen. And so God casts Satan from heaven. Jesus sees all this happen. And it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, I saw it happen. Jesus says, I saw it happen. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, which means that when God decided to fight, there was no fight.
Right.
Are you with me? See, it was literally, like we want to make the movie out of it, like 2.5 hours. And it literally, this was a nanosecond, and then roll the credits, because it was over. It was done. And so this took place. Here's another recorded part in Scripture, Revelation chapters 12. It says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. And he was not, and this is the most rejoiceful thing that you can imagine. If you ever get a chance to highlight this, write this in your journal, if you keep one. It says, but he was not strong enough. I love that part. I read that in my life now. And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. And that is where he's operating right now. You need to know that. And this is perhaps why the whole earth became formless and void, which I will say is the same thing that that the enemy is trying to do in your life right now. Is to create a formless and void life. It's amazing how this matches up with what he did there, with how, what he's trying to do in you, what he's trying to do in me. And he's trying to create that in our lives. And it's not just one place. Watch this. I'll give you a list of scriptures right here. John chapter 12, verse 31 says, he's the ruler of this world. Keep going if you would. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age, right now. Ephesians 2:2, the prince of the power of the air. 1 John 5:19, whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So the devil is real. He's not a symbol. He's real. Everybody with me? Here's the second one. Here's the second thing you need to know, and that is that the devil is at war with us. I hate to give you all the bad news, but he hates you.
It's true.
It's true. He's strategically devising a scheme to destroy you. He's working on it right now, right at this very moment. And you can say, well, I don't believe that. That doesn't make it any less true. Even if you don't believe, it doesn't stop him from working against you, even if you say, I don't really believe that.
Yeah.
And the one of the best things I can do for you today is to make you aware of this fight. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says this, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. You need to realize that the enemy, what is a ever watch those shows that show lions when they're about to, the little gazelle is all here, right? Crikey, mate. It's literally, right? the lion isn't just approaching, it's stealth. It'll lay down. It'll walk through the tall weeds. It'll do, and literally because it knows the weakness. It knows if it can get close enough, it can pounce. And that's exactly why he gives the same illustration of the devil's like that. Now, I've heard people teach, well, he's like a roaring. He's not really a roaring lion. He is fighting against you. Yes. And I know I'm going to teach this a little different than a lot of pastors. But I'm just telling you, you're in a fight. He's lying in cover. He's wanting and waiting to pounce. Matter of fact, the time when it comes to oppress, he opposes Jesus, remember? Recorded twice in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 in the four Gospels. But it says that the devil left him for a time until an opportune time came for him to come against him. Go read it. It's really amazing. And most people never teach on that thought. They just teach on, oh, Jesus came against him. Man, when he came, or the devil came against him, when Jesus said, he quoted the word. Okay, that's a great thing. You're exactly right. But there is an opportune time for the enemy to come. Mm-hmm. And you need to know how he operates. Here's the third one, the devil. And this is it, the devil has power. Now, I'm going to teach this different than a lot of leaders right here. Someone asked me, can a Christian be possessed of the devil? I don't believe so, no. Because I actually believe once the Spirit of God resides inside of you, it cannot house the devil and God at the same time. Right. I'll give you this illustration. When I was a 18-year-old youth pastor, or almost 19-year-old youth pastor, I had some young kids ask me about that very question. And God gave me this example. He said, and they were talking about, oh, the devil just, you know, I got possessed, these Christians. And I went, well, that would be like me. Or let's say it like this. The devil's driving the vehicle and God decides to get in on the other side and put the seatbelt on while the devil's driving. That doesn't, I promise you, he's never going to do that. Right. I would never get in. You would never get in. I'm not going to, if somebody leaving the bar has had 150,000 drinks, you're not going to strap yourself into their vehicle and drive home with them. And say, well, I was just being a... No, devil is not... And God and Satan are not going to reside in the same thing. Once the Spirit of God dwells in you, I don't believe you can be possessed. Now, however, you need to know how he works against you. And that is that he does have power against you. So he does things like harass you. He does things like oppress us. He does things like attack us. He does things to mislead us, to entice us, to tempt us. So he has power to do that. Right. And every Christian still can be that way, can still be in all those things. And we have a lot more, let me say this too. You have a lot more to do with how that happens in your life than you know. Yes. You do. Ephesians 4 is talking about anger, not really spiritual warfare, but there's an important detail in this verse I want to give you. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath while you're still angry. The King James says, on your wrath. And do not give the devil a foothold. In other words, you leave a little crack in the window or you leave some opening when you leave things unresolved. And you stay in your sin and you let it go too far. It's saying, hey, we all get angry. So don't be paranoid about the devil attacking every time you get angry. No, it's when you leave it unresolved that the issue is there. Is everybody with me? Yes. So you have a lot to do with how much the enemy is successful in his harassment towards you.
It's true.
In his temptation towards you, towards his enticement towards you. You have a lot to deal with that. You have a lot to do with that. Now, let me I give you a lot of bad news, so let's end with some good news. And that is that, here's the last one, and that is that the devil is subject to our God.
Amen.
So, right, we already said he already had a fight that lasted a millisecond. Now he trembles at our God. And anytime you align yourself with God, then you become just as victorious as God was. I'm going to say that again because I think that's the line of the script of this message, that anytime you align yourself with God, you become just as victorious as God was and is. 1 John 4:4 says, dear children, let's say it like this, dear Harvest Church, You, Harvest Church, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in this world. Now, you aren't so great, and I'm not so great, but the one that's in me is greater than the one that's in this world. Now, it might surprise you, but let me say this. I think it would surprise you is how much of this I really believe. I think there's a dynamic that's growing on, a spiritual warfare dynamic that a lot of Christians overlook. And it would probably surprise you how much of what I deal with or what Dwan and I deal with that we treat as spiritual rather than natural. I'm kind of let you into my world here a little bit. I'm not saying we don't respond in the natural. Listen, if we get sick, we go to the doctor. It's just, right? I mean, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9 says, use every endeavor to heal yourself. And so we're not fools. And we do. We have all that. Something happens spending-wise, we make cuts. We don't just go, oh, there's, you know. But, however, we're very quick to get together when something happens in the natural. Our first response isn't natural. It's usually spiritual. Actually, I was having this conversation with my daughter. I'll give you a little peek here. We're coming home from school, actually taking her to dance, dropping her off downtown after school this week, and she was telling me about something, and I said, hey, you know what? And she resided that at the end of our conversation that my statements to everything when there's a problem is, we should pray about this. Because my first response to things isn't, well, you know. Now, don't get me wrong. I have natural responses just like many of you, especially when I'm driving. Right? I don't pray for those people. I do afterwards. After. But, Lord have mercy. Right? But I think our first response isn't natural. I think I've been very quick to get together with my wife or with our family. Something's going on, and we pray. We have times of prayer. And I'll share this I've shared this testimony because it's been the highlight for me of how God works in our family. But when our daughter was born, she had seizures for years. And they told us she'll never grow out of that. It will always be like that. We'll have to put her on some medication. It's just going to be the way it is. And we began to pray, even in standing. I'll be honest with you. I'm a straightforward person. You guys know that. And I'm standing there after the 17th doctor report, and the one that was so firm and adamant against what we were trying to do and angry with us that we weren't doing what they wanted us to do. And I finally just said, hey, I don't believe like you. And I said, I understand. And listen, I get it. You know more than me. That's why you went to school to do this. But I'm just believing in a higher power that created the whole thing. Are you with me? We went to praying for that. We went to believing for that. And since then, we hadn't had another one. Why? Because God's, again, the natural is subject to the spiritual. Are you guys with me? And sometimes you guys would be kind of shocked on the way I look at things, because I do believe the first response in my family is to say, you know what, I got authority over this. I got power over this. Because the same victory that Christ took for me at the cross is the same victory that I now live in. That he that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of me, not out there. Amen. I know I'm preaching. Now, hang on. Let me tell you what I'm not saying, though. I'm not saying that there's a devil under every rock. Now, some people leave a service like this and say, oh, the pastor said, man, the devil. Okay, so if you run out of gas, it's not because some Chevron demon was out there. No, you just forgot. If you ran into they're not a demon of red lights trying to get you. You just didn't drive fast enough. I mean, slow. You got what I'm saying. You maybe God's trying to tell you to slow down. I didn't even say that. Ah, Lord. Don't hear what I'm not saying today. Now, I'm not saying there's a devil under every rock. But I do believe that there's more going on spiritually than we think at times. I personally believe that much of what is happening in America is a spiritual thing, not a natural thing. And we need to learn how to fight accordingly. And I think a lot of us, and I'm not just picking on us, I'm talking a lot of Christians, struggle with this. That's why Romans chapter 13 said, man, when you're talking about leadership, how about just pray for them? Not pray for your party you like and pray for the and pray for the demise of the other one. Pray for them. Because a lot of this is spiritual. It's not natural. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 says, though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with, so there's some weapons. Anytime I get around people who are like, you know, especially the passive Christianity is like, well, you know, we got to turn the other cheek. And you're exactly right. Jesus taught that. But he also taught there would be a time you would have to trade in your coat for a sword. Yeah. I'm not teaching rebellion. I'm not teaching taking up arms. I'm teaching a spiritual battle. And the sword, we know what the sword is, represents. I'll teach about that here in a moment. But he says the weapons of our world, they're not the same. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish, not fighting flesh and blood, demolish strongholds. Strongholds in the Greek is the word okorama. Okorama, it literally means the lie of the devil that keeps you trapped into the slavery of sin. It tears down that okorama, the strongholds. The demolish word, and any lie that is completely against God's word, believing it makes, a stronghold is anything that's contrary to God's word, but then believing it so it becomes a part of your life. Becomes a part of your reality. The word demolish in the Greek is the word castoreo or castoreo. Literally means to violently cast down. There's nothing really passive about either one of those words. There's nothing kind of kumbaya-ish. And I know people like a little kumbaya kind of God where, well, you need to understand. And if you haven't already, you're in a fight. And yes, part of Christianity is communion with God, but there's another part of it that is confrontation with the devil. Yeah. And you need to know that. Don't be afraid. Stand your ground and fight your fight. Because you cannot treat this thing passively. Because if you do, it won't be long before you find yourself unaware of where you are.
It's true.
And who you belong to. And it may not be the devil has made you bad or sick or emotionally hurt. It may just be that the devil's made you spiritually apathetic. Man, hear that. Don't you see that today in the church? Don't you see that today in our world? We have 88% of the people claiming to be Christian people, but believing that it's 44% of those believe it's okay to kill a baby. May not make us bad people, maybe not sick people or emotionally unstable people, just maybe make us spiritually unaware of what is the truth. So we have a fight. We have a fight that we're in, and we have to fight with some weapons. And the question is, what are those weapons? How do I use them? Let me give you a few, the Bible, from the Bible that you have and how you can use them. And I'll do this pretty quickly today so we can kind of move forward. But I want to give you these because, and I've given you this before years ago, but this crept into my heart when I decided to teach on this because it's probably the most powerful, these are the most powerful things that changed my life. Literally, every day changes my life. And I was just sharing this with my wife this morning of how God's, especially the last few months, just bringing a new awareness to some of these things. And here's the first one. One of the weapons is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Can't tell you how important this is. We sing songs. We sang songs today about Jesus, to Jesus. which is the name above all names. Why? Because that name has power. Names have power. That's why people are, and maybe you're like this, we were like this, we're cautious about what we name our kids. I liked a certain name, and my wife was like, I don't know, let's look it up. What does it mean? House of Poverty. But I loved the name, it was beautiful. And we just said, you know, all right, we'll go a different direction. Because names have power. Cancer has power, is a name that has power. Debt is a powerful name. Addiction is a powerful name. Depression is a powerful name. But the good news is that our God exalted Jesus, the name, above every other name ever named. It's the highest place. Philippians chapter 2 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name. Every name. Every name. Let me give you this example. If you have kids here, you probably have done this. I could say to my kids when they were little, hey, go get your brother or go get your sister and tell them to come here. And they would go and they would go, hey, Dad, say, come here. And or Dad wants you. And then the others would say, whatever. And then they'd come back and I'd say, hey, did you tell them? And they'd say, yeah. Did they come? No. And then and I said, go tell them Dad said to come here. And they go say, Dad said he wants you now. And then boom, 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 boom. Right? Why? Because in the Dial household, there is a name. No, I'm just kidding. No. No, but it's true. There's a name that's above other names. But when it's just the siblings, right? It's like, I don't have to boss. You're not the boss of me. Anybody ever heard that? Right? If it's like when my kids were small and they'd say, I want to go get something. I want to go buy something. If they were to take, I remember my daughter, she had these play checks. Anybody remember this? I don't know where we would come up with this, but it's strange. But I remember she wrote one and something, how this happened. It went to Walmart to buy something and handed them a check that said $1 million on it, something like that. And got her nowhere. But if you take my credit card with my name on it, right, which they've learned, they understand. Why? Because there's a purchasing power. There's a power that comes with the name that's on there. And that's what we do with the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Well, Pastor, what do I do? Romans chapter 10, verse 13 tells us what to do. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on that name. And see, this is not just a salvation scripture. Everybody uses this. It's a salvation scripture. It's everything. Every situation, we call on the name. When we're sick, I call on Jesus' name. When my daughter had seizures, I called on Jesus' name. When we have financial trouble, I call on Jesus' name. Why? Because at that name, it says every knee, every name is lower than that name. Yeah. I'm preaching better than you guys responding. Because this is passionate to me. Yes, I know sickness is powerful. I know anxiety is powerful. But I call on the name that's a ruling name over every other name, and I rebuke that name in the name. Yeah. And that is the name of Jesus. Amen. And the devil has to let go at the name of Jesus. And sometimes people ask me, why? Who do I pray to? Well, the Bible says, let's be clear on this, the Bible says we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Yeah. We pray to the Father. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Here's a prayer. I want to give you a prayer that actually I heard a pastor do this. And about 3 years ago, I decided to, I never was one for to write down prayers. I always wanted to be Holy Spirit led, God lead me. And about 3 years ago, some things come into my life. And so I wrote down a prayer and I keep it saved on my computer, and I thought, you know, this would be a good time. And maybe this is heavy for some of you, but this is a prayer that I read. I try to read this every day. It doesn't always work out, but in some form, I pray this prayer. And so I'm going to read it to you this morning. Heavenly Father, I bow in praise and worship before you. I surrender myself and this church completely and unreservedly in every area of our life to you. We take our stand against the devil and resist all the evil schemes to rob us of the will of God. So in the name of Jesus, I take authority over things like you, bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred, malice, envy, jealousy, insecurity, fear, rejection, self-pity, violence, sexual immorality, impurity, and lust, over pride, pornography, lying spirits, rebellion, deception, arrogance, manipulation, prejudice, judgmentalism, racism, greed, materialism, selfishness, selfish ambition, depression, anxiety, worry, suicide, self-hate, addiction, dependency, alcoholism, drugs, obesity, rebellion to authority, false doctrine, stealing, laziness, unbelief, guilt, shame, embarrassment, humiliation, words, curses, witchcraft, blasphemy, sickness, disease, and pain. I declare the name of Jesus higher than any of you. Amen. And I do. I do. And I think sometimes some of us need to get a prayer like that in our life. Because the name, some of these names are overtaking the very name that you profess you have.
It's true.
Here's the second one. I got to move. Second one is the Word of God. The Word of God. The Bible actually says the Word has authority, has power. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is alive. It's breathing. It's active. It's powerful. Sharper than any double-edged sword." Now, all throughout the Bible, it talks about the Word of God being a sword. And I want to give you this real quick because I think it's a very powerful thought. And that is the sword is it's an offensive weapon. It's the only offensive weapon listed in the armor of God.
Yes, that's true.
Because it's the only one you need. When it comes to the armor. So if we go back to the original verse we started with and finish it, this is what it says. Ephesians 6, 14 and 7 through 17. "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows." This is what the devil does. He's just constantly throwing. Constantly. He says, "Take out the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And this is how Jesus overcame the enemy. Do you realize that? Matthew 4, Luke 4, this is how Jesus overcame the enemy, the Word. And so many people in the body of Christ are only playing defense because they don't have the Word of God on the inside of them. So they have no offensive weapon. So instead of taking ground from the enemy, we keep giving in. And the church is in this place. Our world, our America's in this place. We keep giving back the authority. Because we've never taken the offensive. This is why you need to get the Word of God inside of you. That's why many have heard things like, you've heard me quote this over and over. If you've been in this church any length of time, I quote Luke chapter 10, verse 19 constantly. That I have been given all power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm me. That I have authority over everything that he does, everything that he tries to do, I have authority over that. That's what Jesus paid for me to have.
Yes.
And the Word is your weapon, and that's why some of you are losing the battle, because the Word is never a part of your life. Hear me. You say, "Well, Pastor, I get the Word on Sunday morning." I'm talking about becoming a self-feeder. Because when you become a self-feeder, right, you're not just relying on what I'm teaching. You're taking the Holy Spirit in for yourself. And now it's a daily bread. It's not just something I weekly live on. You couldn't live on one meal a week. Why live on one spiritual meal a week?
Right.
Let the Word of God penetrate your heart.
Amen.
You just keep playing defense against the attack of the enemy. How about turn it around and we win a few fights?
Yeah.
Read it, learn it, be able to quote it back to the enemy during your battle.
That's true.
How about that one? Right? I've learned it so much that when the enemy comes against me like a flood, God, you've raised up a standard against him. Right? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear anything. God's with me. He's right beside me. I may be confused. I may be kind of in this place where I'm pressured, but the Bible says I'm not overtaken because I contain something on the inside. Are you with me? I haven't lost my... His word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my pathway. I place your word in the highest regard. It's healing to those who believe. It's salvation to those who confess. Hiding the word in our hearts. Hiding it. Revelation. I got to get back to my notes. Hang on. Lost my place. Here's the third one. I'll move on. Here's the third one. The power of the cross. That's your weapon, the power of the cross, which is the ultimate defeat of the devil. And this is the part of the cross that many Christians don't know. Most Christians believe that when Jesus died on the cross, all he did was save me from my sins. That's a big part of it. Yes, you're right. Yeah, he did that. He that's the main thought. But there's more to the cross than you thought. Because Ephesians says that between Friday and Sunday, between the Friday that they crucified him and the Sunday that he rose again, that he descended into the lower parts of the earth and that he was confronting the enemy. And he said to the devil, or I paraphrase, he said, hey, I just paid for everything that was ever done. Give me the keys.
Yeah, right. It's good stuff.
And Jesus took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and so that you could be the one that could, so that he could be the one. Let me say it like that. He could be the one that could control your eternal destiny. Not the enemy, but he could be the one. He took that. What a great thought right there. That he went down, he's like, hey, I just took it all. And the devil had no choice, but he said, now, yeah, you defeated it all. You're still living. Then he took the keys and Satan handed them over. Now he has that no matter what, death is never going to be the end of you. That not even death could conquer anyone ever again. Revelation chapter 1 says this, I am he who lives, who was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to that very thing.
Right.
The cross didn't just pay for your sins, it conquered death. Anything the devil could throw at Jesus, Jesus already caught. Anything the devil could throw at you, Jesus already caught. Well, Pastor, I've been naming and claiming, I've been quoting the word, I've been believing, I've been all these things, but it's just not working out like that for me. Well, let me just close with this thought. Romans chapter 8 says, does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? And what the next verse says is what I think many of us have forgotten to read, is the last part. Because you may be in that fight. You may be going through something hard. But no matter what, no matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, I've had to remember this in my own life in the last few years. That the last part of this verse says this. And that is that in all these things, I am more than a conqueror. I don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to achieve it. But I'm more than a conqueror. Has anybody in here ever had a moment where, and maybe you have, you can probably identify with some of the things that, at times that I've dealt with in my life and recently. I was sharing with my family recently how that there becomes a time in your life where there are entities in your life, things that you think are good that become things that you feel like are overwhelming. And so sometimes when the phone rings, right? When my phone will ring and I see who that is, my anxiety level will jump. Does anybody ever, you know what I'm talking about? My dad talked about it when he was in business and when he wanted to retire and he was finally stepping away. He said every time the phone would ring in the office, he said, I'd literally just feel empty and void, discouraged. And I thought about how, as I was sharing that, I've thought about this and prayed about this, even this morning, how that I don't think that's a natural thing. I think that's an enemy thing. I think that's the enemy trying to get us to forget that last part. That in all these things, that when calamity comes, issues arise, the phone rings, and you don't want to take it. That no matter what, in those moments, I'm more than a conqueror. And it's not because I go in my strength. I'm nothing. My strength, your strength, that's nothing. But because of him. So spiritual warfare, to me, those three weapons have become my favorite things to fight with anymore. When it comes to people, when it comes to neighbors, when it comes to issues that arise, when it comes to the phone ringing, when it comes to the anxiety levels, when it comes to sickness, is what does the name of Jesus do? What have I placed in my heart? How much have I placed the word there? What did the cross do? If it didn't just, if it only paid for my sins to go to heaven, great. That's the best thing. That's the best gift I've ever received, but it did so much more that I have to tap into. It made me more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. So what is a conqueror? Right? We all know that definition. We all know that somebody who comes in and overtakes and takes hold of something and claims it for themselves, that's a conqueror. But he said, I made you more than that. See, the devil came into the earth. He's the god of this age. And he says, I'm going to make everything formless and void. And he's trying to do that in your life. But Jesus says, I'm going to make you more than a conqueror. What he thinks he's winning, he's actually losing. I think God has a great plan. Sometimes we're so natural-minded, and some of these are spiritual attacks, and it's time we start fighting those things. Some of the things you're dealing with, some of the things you've involved, remember I said a lot of this stuff you have that control. Some of this is dependent on you, what you're allowing in. His power, his abilities, we have a lot to do with. How it operates in our life. Because God gave us weapons. God gave us weapons. Will you bow your heads with me just for a moment? Father, I've done my best to share your word. I put it out there, God, today. And not something I've claimed to know a ton about. It's not something I try to look at and analyze deeply, but I do believe, God, we're in a fight. I think the number one thing we're in a fight for is souls, lives. I think the devil is trying to get us to forget about people who don't know you, trying to get us to focus our attention on something else, on ourselves, on our happiness, on our issues. When at the end of the day, the only thing that really counts is where we're going to spend eternity. But God, while we're here, and Father, if we know you, and many of us have, I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, I'm just going through these so many things, and yet when we analyze it, a lot of it is that we've just never taken time to use the weapons you've made available to us. To find out what the Word says about this issue. To find out what the Word says about the debt or the sickness or the pain or the emotional crisis or the depression or the fear. And so the enemy keeps winning because we keep playing the defense and we never take ground back. It's kind of getting pushed back, pushed back, pushed back. Father, today, I expose the devil. I expose his schemes. I expose his power, his limited power, his limited authority, that we have victory over him in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice that Jesus gave to us. We have victorious living, divine health. We have the freedom, God, that you paid for. That the same spirit that raised Jesus lives inside of me. So, Father, today, God, I take authority over all the authority of the enemy. And, Father, I pray over every home and every family and every child, every son, every daughter, every school system, every authority in our government. I thank you, God, that this isn't just a natural thing. This is a spiritual thing, God. And, Father, the enemy's trying to sift and trying to steal and trying to kill and destroy, but you came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Father, I lift up people here today facing a spiritual attack. I thank you, God, that you are on the... I pray, God, that they'll begin to use your word, speak your name, and realize the benefits that came from the cross. Father, that we speak those things. I thank you, God, if there's someone here, and Father, has maybe never even made that profession of faith, that today, before we walk out of this, and Father, before we leave this room, God, that we say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I give you my heart. I thank you, God, for all that you are in me. And I surrender to you.